With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. The HSA is facing another big review, but this time the health minister says it will lead to real change, not just another report gathering dust. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles explains in this report.
Health Services Minister Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes has appointed a new Health Services Authority Board and hired KPMG to carry out a 10-week governance audit of the HSA. She says it's a fresh start after years of legacy issues at the public hospital and wants every resident, regardless of income, to have timely, quality care at the HSA.
This audit is not intended to be punitive, but it is meant to provide us with a clear understanding on what is working, what needs improvement, and what needs to change. Far too long, successive governments have spoken about accountability at HSA while avoiding the hard questions.
The audit, which began on the 12th of January, will look at how the board, the CEO, and senior management work together, and where gaps in oversight and accountability are holding the system back. KPMG is expected to interview board members, senior managers, staff, former directors, and patients, and to benchmark the HSA against international best practice. Ebanks-Wilkes has pledged to publish both the good and the bad in the final report and says she will act on the recommendations even if they are politically uncomfortable. New HSA board chair Tim Ridley says his team accepts that challenge.
We will endeavor, and I give this commitment to the community and to the minister, and to my co-directors, we will work diligently, try and set the HSA on the right course, not delve into what happened in the past and who did what. My view is going to be we move forward and we move forward together and make the HSA what we all want it to be.
The governance audit is the first phase of what the minister calls an intentional transformation, with further reforms and public progress reports promised once the findings are in. Elizabeth Charles, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, Elizabeth. The minister says she expects to return with the KPMG findings and next steps roughly in 12 to 14 weeks' time. To the courts, a grand court ruling has left an injured cyclist with no way to recover more than $200,000 in damages after the judge found that the vehicle that struck him was not insured at the time of the crash, despite still being registered and insured in the seller's name. The case stems from an incident in the early hours of the 30th of April 2017 when cyclist Micah Jensen was traveling along West Bay Road near Dolphin Point Club. He was hit from behind by a Toyota RAV4 driven by Willie Hurlston Cruz, suffering severe injuries and loss of consciousness. Although the RAV4 remained registered to the previous owner who held an insurance policy, the court heard that he had sold the vehicle to Hurlston Cruz roughly 2 months before the crash. Full payment had been made by the end of March 2017. Hurlston Cruz requested that the previous owner leave the insurance and registration unchanged because he couldn't afford his own policy, and the seller agreed in an effort to help him. When Jensen's lawyer contacted ICWI months later, the insurer refused liability, arguing that the person they insured no longer had a, quote, insurable interest once the vehicle was sold. Jensen eventually secured a consent judgment against Hurlston Cruz for $200,000 in damages plus $20,000 in costs, but enforcement attempts revealed that Hurlston Cruz had no meaningful assets. Jensen then turned to the court seeking a declaration that ICWI must satisfy the judgment under the Vehicle Insurance Third Party Risk Act. But Justice Marlene Carter rejected the claim, ruling that the insurance policy automatically lapsed when the vehicle was sold. The judge stressed that the failure to update the registration documents did not preserve ownership or insurance coverage. Justice Carter noted that insurance is a contract of personal indemnity, and insurers cannot be forced to cover individuals they did not agree with to insure. She acknowledged the harsh outcomes for Jensen, saying it was unfortunate that he holds a judgment against a person who cannot pay. The court also ordered Jensen to pay ICWI's legal costs. The opposition says it supports prioritizing Caymanian employment, but warns that immigration and labor reform must be backed by transparency and a clear implementation plan. The press release follows Caymanian Employment and Immigration Minister the Honorable Michael Miles' earlier appearance on Radio Cayman's For the Record show on Friday. Deputy Leader, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan.
Now, we sympathize with the minister's current position. He has been candid today in acknowledging that the systems within the labor and work permit departments are not running efficiently. It is a difficult admission to make, but it's one that we expected. The opposition and the business community repeatedly warned the government and the minister to fix these operational inefficiencies before piling on new legal structures.
Deputy Leader Bryan says serious operational failures in labor and work permit systems should have been fixed before major policies and fee increases were introduced.
These fees act as a tax on business at a time when employers are already struggling with the rising cost of doing business and a shifting regulatory landscape. Without the government first providing it can deliver a more efficient system, these increases feel less like a reform and more like a financial penalty on the private sector.
He says the opposition is calling for a staged roadmap with milestones over the next 6, 12, and 24 months, saying reforms must protect jobs, businesses, and public confidence.
If the public and the private sector are expected to remain patient while the internal operations are overhauled, we must be able to see the progress in real time. While we wait for this overhaul, the business community is being asked to shoulder immediate and aggressive fee increases. Now, we in the opposition are deeply concerned that these rising costs are being implemented before the promised efficiencies are realized.
You can listen to the full interview with Minister Miles on For the Record by visiting the Radio Cayman YouTube page. You're listening to Radio Cayman's latest local news. Cayman's mobile blood donation bus gets $10,000.
This generous contribution from Rotary Central Cayman Islands has had an immediate and practical impact on our mobile blood collection services.
Laboratory manager at the blood bank, Judith Clark, tells Radio Cayman the money supported the purchase of two key pieces of equipment that will, quote, further strengthen the blood bank's ability to deliver safe, efficient, and accessible blood collection services across the islands.
These equipment enhance efficiency, improve workflow for our staff, and help ensure a safe and positive experience for donors, especially during off-site blood drives.
Since the official turnover of the mobile blood bank collection unit in June 2025, the Cayman Islands Blood Bank has already conducted 9 blood drives using the mobile bus, bringing blood donation services directly into communities and workplaces and expanding opportunities for residents to donate. You can learn more at bloodbank.ky. The Cayman Islands government says its national digital ID is the key to moving away from a paper world of receipts and manual processes. In the first part of a two-part series, Radio Cayman's April Cummings looks at why officials say a digital identity matters and how it will be used.
Government digital lead Charlie Brown says many Caymanians already renew vehicles and carry out other business online. But technically speaking, that only proves they control an email address.
There's a very, very big difference between controlling an email address and the next stage of services that we actually need to achieve, which is that you control a digital identity. It's your identity.
He says the next stage is about being able to prove who you are online, in a way that's strong enough for higher value government and private sector services. To do that, the system combines a physical card, digital features, and a secret PIN.
So there's two parts to this. There's a physical card, and that card has digital features on it. And by interacting with that card, when you do a service, we know that you have that card, you're in control of that card, and it proves that you have control. But you also have something secret, very similar to how you use an ATM card these days or a credit card. You have a PIN, a secret PIN, and that's unique to you. So using the three things together, you're online, you've signed in, you have a tool that you control, plus something secret, we verify that it is you.
Mr. Brown contrasts that with what he calls today's paper world, where receipts do the work of connecting different parts of government.
What's our problem today? The everyday problem is that we have a paper world. And our world really centers around a receipt. It's a kind of manual interoperability. The receipt moves around to different departments. the receipt proves that you actually bought something. And because of that, you have to continually revalidate who you are. Did you actually buy that service? And if you didn't pay for that service, go back to the department that you actually got it from and bring me another receipt.
But he says that system is not sustainable and that a secure digital identity can help residents spend less time carrying documents from counter to counter. April Cummings, Radio KMAN News.
Thank you, April. Finally, it's time for the annual NASA Group Spawning Aggregation in Little Cayman. And the Department of Environment is ready to take you under the sea. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller reports.
The Reef Environmental Education Foundation and the Cayman Islands Department of Environment will bring Cayman students directly into the field this February through the 2026 Grouper Moon Education Program, featuring interactive live streams from the Caribbean's largest known Nassau grouper spawning aggregation. The program connects classrooms across the Cayman Islands with Department of Environment and reef scientists working at the spawning site off the west end of Little Cayman, where as many as 8,500 endangered Nassau grouper are expected to gather during the early February full moon. Students will engage in real-time conversations with researchers and observe spawning behavior through video live feeds, including underwater broadcasts from the aggregation itself. DOE Director Gina Ebanks-Petrie.
As we celebrate 40 years of marine parks in the Cayman Islands this year, we must acknowledge the significant influence that the Grouper Moon Project has had on our islands, not just through scientific research and policy development, but also through helping generations of Caymanians truly witness and be inspired by its conservation successes.
Live streams are planned for the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at 10:30 a.m., and you can watch them live on the Reef YouTube channel, which is We Speak Fish. The Grouper Moon Project has monitored Nassau grouper spawning aggregations in Cayman water since 2002. Since then, the Nassau grouper populations in Little Cayman and Cayman Brac have rebounded, quote, significantly over the past two decades, making the Cayman Islands a regional leader in grouper conservation. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. Again, you can catch the streams live via the Reef YouTube channel. And for more information, you can visit the DOE social media pages at DOE Cayman. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a great weekend.